അതപരം സൂക്ഷ്മതമം അവ്യക്തം നിർവിശേഷണം അനാദിമധ്യനിധനം നിത്യം വാൺമനസഃ പരം അതഃ ദേർഫോർ പരം ട്രാൻസെൻഡന്റൽ സൂക്ഷ്മതമം ഫൈനർ ദാൻ ദ ഫൈനസ്റ്റ് അവ്യക്തം അൺമാനിഫെസ്റ്റഡ് നിർവിശേഷണം വിതൗട്ട് മെറ്റീരിയൽ ഫീച്ചേഴ്സ് അനാദി വിതൗട്ട് ബിഗിനിങ് മധ്യ വിതൗട്ട് അൻ ഇന്റർമീഡിയറ്റ് സ്റ്റേജ് നിധനം വിതൗട്ട് എൻഡ് നിത്യം ഇറ്റേണൽ വാക്ക് വേർഡ്സ് മനസഃ ഓഫ് ദ മൈൻഡ് പരം ട്രാൻസെൻഡന്റൽ Therefore, beyond this gross manifestation is a transcendental manifestation finer than the finest form. It has no beginning, no intermediate stage, and no end. Therefore, it is beyond the limits of expression or mental speculation and is distinct from the material conception. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The gross external body of the Supreme is manifested at certain intervals, and thus the external feature or form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not the eternal form of the Lord, which has no beginning, no intermediate stage, and no end. Anything which has a beginning, interim, and end is called material. The material world is begun from the Lord. And thus, the form of the Lord before the beginning of the material world is certainly transcendental to the finest or the finer material conception. The ether in the material world is considered to be the finest. Finer than the ether is mind, intelligence, and false ego. But all eight of the outward coverings are explained as outer covering of the absolute truth. The absolute truth is therefore beyond the expression and speculation of the material conception. He is certainly transcendental to all material conceptions. This is called nirvisheshanam. One should not, however, misunderstand nirvisheshanam as being without any transcendental qualifications. Visheshanam means qualities. Therefore, nir added to it means that he has no material qualities or variegatedness. This nullifying expression is described in four transcendental qualifications, namely, unmanifested, transcendental, eternal, and beyond the conception of mind or word. Beyond the limits of words means negation of the material conception. Unless one is transcendentally situated, it is not possible to know the transcendental form of the Lord. ഓംജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയാ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരോ ശ്രീയുതപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരൂന് വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപാദാൻ സഹഗണലളിതാ ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗത്പദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗോരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരീ വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവീ പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ഭൂതൈർമഹാദ്ഭിർയൈമാ പുരോ വിഭു ദുർമായ ശേതേ യദമൂഷ പൂരുഷ ഭുങ്ക്തേ ഗുണാൻ ഷോഡശ ഷോഡശാത്മക സോരംകൃശീഷ്ട ഭഗവാൻ വചാംസി മേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ. വി വണ്ടർ ഹൂ ഇസ് ദ റിയൽ സീയർ, ഹൂ ഇസ് ദ റിയൽ ഒബ്സർവർ ഓഫ് ദ വേൾഡ്, ഹൂ ഇസ് ആക്ച്വലി ഒബ്സർവിംഗ് ദ ഹോൾ ആക്ടിവിറ്റീസ് ഓഫ് ദ വേൾഡ്, ഹൂ ഇസ് ഫീലിംഗ്, ഹൂ ഇസ് ദ എൻജോയർ ഓഫ് ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. ആൻഡ് നാച്ചുറലി വൺ കംസ് ടു ദ കൺക്ലൂഷൻ ദാറ്റ് വി ആർ ദ റിയൽ സീയർ, വി ആർ ദ റിയൽ ഒബ്സർവർ. And depending on that, we make right decision and move forward in our material pursuits. And currently, people are even more proud because it's not that we have just senses to perceive the world, but we also have extended senses through which we can see things, we can hear things, we can analyze things. So, we are moving on in the path of progress by extending our senses, extending our mind, extending our intelligence. However, reality is something else. That's what Bhagavad Gita says, that's what Srimad Bhagavatam says. Even though after having so much of material prowess, how much can we perceive, how much can we observe, how much can we resist against the material influences? When tsunami hit the world, you know, quite a few years back, for the first time after a long time, it was mentioned that in a wildlife area near the seas, all the animals, they fled away from the affected area well before the tsunami was hit. Whereas human beings couldn't do anything. And later, I know a few people, they started research on tsunami warning systems. So they spent millions of dollars. And they started research on how to replicate tsunami in a tank. The same principle, they did that. And they wanted to have false-proof alarm systems to predict tsunami. So we can see humans are trying so hard to fight against the nature. However, some of the animals, they are even superiors without any of this higher intelligence. They can know different things. They can observe different things. However, Bhagavad Gita says that we are not just the observer. There is one more observer. And who is that? That is the Supreme Lord. Kshetrajnam chapimam vithi sarva kshetreshu bharata kshetra kshetrajnyo jnanam yatta jnanam matam mama. So Krishna says in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that I am also seer of this world. And it is very important for us to understand that who is the real seer? Are we the real seer or the Supreme Lord is the real seer? Who is the real observer? Actually, the Supreme Lord is the real observer. And whatever he allows us to see, that we can see, that we can observe, that we can perceive. So who is the real seer? We are conditioned. And Lord is the real seer. And according to one's karma, what is sanctioned will be given according to the different predominating deities in the form of demigods. And this was the description of the previous verses, how different deities or the demigods came into existence for the function of controlling different senses of the living entities. So the Lord is the real seer, and if he sanctions, we can see. So now, yesterday also there was a discussion on what is the meaning of this outer covering of the Lord by stula manifestation, by gross manifestation. So what is that? It is referring to the Virat Roop, the Vishwaroop of the Lord. That is the outer covering, that is these planets are the outer coverings of the Supreme Lord who is transcendental, which is described in this verse. And that outer coverings are in the form of different planetary systems, starting from the lower planetary systems to the outer planetary systems, middle and upper. And it is mentioned in this verse as that the Lord is beyond this. Now one can ask, what is the function of this Vishwarupa or the universal form? Yes, we understand it is the aggregate of the matter present. However, there is a function with respect to the first point that I was trying to make, that is being the observer. What is that? The universal form is the agency through which the real living entities are covered. So when it is mentioned in the verses, previous verses before, that the eyes of the Lord is created and different limbs of the Lord are created. When it is mentioned, it has to be understood that these senses are nothing but the material manifestations to cover the real senses of the living entities. So the function of the universal form is nothing but to act as an agent to cover the real living entity with the material senses. So we take it for granted that the senses are for us to see the world. Yes, which is true. We use the senses to observe the world, to experience the world. But it is actually just the covering. It's actually covering the real senses through, from subtler to the gross aspects, from false ego to the intelligence to the mind and all other gross material elements. So that is a function of the Virat Roop. That is to manifest the coverings of the material, so to cover the transcendental living entity through material senses and body. So that is a function here as presented for the Virat Roop. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the 33rd verse, we are in 34, the previous verse. These coverings are created by him to cover the eyes of the conditioned souls who want to lord it over the material nature. Actually, the conditioned souls are covered by the illusory creative cloud of matter, and the Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to their eyes. So when it is mentioned, the Virat Roop is the covering. It is a covering. It is covering the living entities. And also through that agency, the Lord preserves his right not to be exposed to the unqualified. Now in the next verse and in this section, a very important aspect comes through. That is what one devotee should focus on. What form of the Lord a devotee should focus on. In the last verse, the translation was, thus by all this, the external feature of the personality of Godhead is covered by gross forms such as those of planets, which were explained to you by me. We heard this explanation previous few verses before. The outer coverings, the external covering of the Lord. Now, is a very important point, which is mentioned in the next verse, because this goes in a flow, that Amuni Bhagavat Rupe Maitehi Anuvartite Upepi Nagrhnati Maya Srishte Vipaschitaha. It is said, there are two forms of the Lord, and a wise person, a devotee, would reject both these forms. And this verse is indicating to the actual form, which a devotee can actually worship. And what are those two forms? These two forms are one, as mentioned before, is the Virat Roop. So Virat Roop conception is for the materialistic people to understand there is something higher and seeing the Lord in matter. They cannot perceive or they cannot understand there is a spiritual form of the Lord, but they can understand, okay, there is nature and nature is God. We see God in nature as devotees, but they see God as nature. So that is the difference between a devotee and a materialist who is trying to advance and perceiving the whole nature as God, which is the beginning, very beginning step. So that's the reason in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, there is a whole chapter dedicated to this. The first stage of God realization, explaining the Virat Roop for the materialistic people. Now, the second aspect, so this first aspect is called the philosophy of pantheism. It's the pantheism philosophy, seeing the God as matter. And there is one more associated philosophy, which is since that since God is spread all over through matter, they say, okay, actually, the Lord cannot have a form, and He is one. One, that energy that spreads everywhere, which connects everything, everywhere. And that is the philosophy of monism. So, next verse actually clearly mentions that a devotee rejects both pantheism and monism and meditates upon the transcendental form of the Lord. And that is mentioned here. So for a devotee, he has no attachment whatsoever for the universal aspect. He is not interested at all. He sees God in the universal aspect. He sees Krishna in all aspects of Krishna, aspects of the world. But that is the training which we are going through. Yukta Vairagya is seeing God in everything and using Krishna's energy in service of Krishna. However, seeing the material opulence as God is something which is rejected by the devotees. Even if they see. We have a wonderful example of Mother Yashoda in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 8th chapter of 10th canto. The 8th chapter is very interesting because we can see the progression of Krishna's life from babyhood to the age where he is playing with his cowherd boyfriends. Initially, in the beginning of the chapter, we see Gargamuni came and approached Nanda Maharaj and as sent by Vasudev to name Krishna and Balaram. And Gargamuni gave different indications about the supremacy of Lord Krishna. He told Nanda Maharaj that he has come in different colors before. Now he is Krishnatam Gataha. Now he has come in the blackish form. He has come in yellowish form. He has come in green, red. He has come in different colors. Now he has come in the blackish form. He also told that if there are any difficulties for you, those difficulties will be removed by the mercy of this child. And also, Gargamuni indicated that he is Narayana Sama. He is as good as the Supreme Lord Narayan, who is the worshipable Lord of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. So Gargamuni gave all the indication and Krishna was named as Krishna, even though it is his eternal name. Then, that is babyhood. Krishna doesn't perform in a, just lying in the babyhood pastimes. Then from there are few verses describing the growth of Krishna. That is from babyhood to crawling. It's an interesting stage from child who is, just lying to start crawling. So there are verses, a few verses describing the crawling pastimes of Krishna. Then it further progresses that Krishna gives up his crawling just like an ordinary child. He starts walking and starts playing. So one day, Krishna was playing with his cowherd boyfriends. And then they saw that Krishna was eating dirt. He was just eating mud. And out of affection for Krishna, they complained to Mother Yashoda. So it is mentioned that all the residents of Vrindavan, and especially focusing on the elderly cowherd woman, they were complaining a lot about Krishna just before for his stealing activities. So they were complaining about stealing the butter, the yogurt, everything. So Krishna was stealing everything and they were complaining. So one series of complaints finished and now the cowherd boys started complaining about Krishna's eating mud. So immediately Mother Yashoda came to the scene and she told Krishna, your mind is disturbed. And because your mind is disturbed, you are eating dirt. So what did Krishna say immediately? And Mother Yashoda, she said, all these friends, they are tavaka. Tavaka means your dear friends. So they won't lie. And even if they speak jokingly, Baladev is also speaking the same thing. So Baladev cannot lie. So you have actually eaten dirt. What did Krishna say immediately? He denied. He lied. He said, I haven't eaten dirt at all. And he also added that as a proof, I can open my mouth. And if I open my mouth, you can check yourselves with your perception. You can have your own perception. So, Krishna opened his mouth. So, when he opened his mouth, it is mentioned why Vishwarup was manifested, the universal form was manifested in the mouth of Krishna. So, it is mentioned that when Krishna opened his mouth, ideally, dirt should be there in the mouth of Krishna because he has just taken some dirt from the ground. However, Krishna is surrounded by different potencies. Krishna is surrounded by different shaktis. And these shaktis are waiting for an opportunity to serve Krishna in his pastimes. So when Krishna opened his mouth, his Aishwarya Shakti, which is non-impeding and it is uncontradictory, wanted to serve the Lord. So this Shakti manifested in the form of the universal form. So the whole planetary systems were present, and in the planetary system, in the earth planet, there was Golok Vrindavan, and there was Krishna and Mother Yashoda and the residents of Vrindavan. So this was a service by the Aishwarya Shakti to the Supreme Lord. Second reason why universal form was manifested, because Krishna is by nature Satya Sankalpa. Satya Sankalpa means whatever he says has to come true. The truth is emanating from him. In 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, the demigods pray to Krishna. So in that, in the prayers of the demigod, they say the same thing. They say the same thing. That is, satyasya satyam trisatya netram satyatmagam tvam sharanam prapannaha. The verse is full of satyam. That is, to do anything with Krishna is the absolute truth. He is the satyasya satyam. Satyasya satyam means the truth, to be truth, Krishna has to be there. So whatever is coming from Krishna is truth. There cannot be anything, any lie coming from Krishna. So Aishwarya Shakti thought, okay, to serve the Lord, this is the right opportunity. So he manifested himself, or the Shakti manifested himself as the universal form. And then Mother Yashoda was pacified. She was in astonishment. And in that astonishment, she forgot to chastise or scold Krishna. And she started thinking, am I speculating? Am I really seeing things? Actually, a conditioned soul in the path of Krishna consciousness must think in this way. Am I really seeing this world? Or are we seeing through the eyes of knowledge? This is what we have to actually think. Mother Yashoda, however, she started thinking in the same way. Am I really seeing or am I dreaming? When she started thinking in that way, she came to a conclusion that this is the Supreme Lord, because Gargamuni had already mentioned that he is Narayana Sama. He is as good as Narayan. Then she thought, I must surrender unto that Supreme Lord. He said, I have to shatter all the illusions. Krishna is not my son. Nanda Maharaj is not my husband. All these cows and all the cowherd men, they are not my relatives or they are not my property. Everything belongs to the Lord. The feeling of I and mine is just illusion. I must surrender. So she was ready to surrender. At that point, Krishna started thinking, if she surrenders like this, who is going to look after me? Who is going to feed me? Who is going to play with me? So what will happen to me? At that point, Mother Yashoda's vatsalya ras, prema ras, actually increased to the peak. And that covered Mother Yashoda. Then she saw, oh, this is my child. So she actually picked up Krishna and started nourishing him. So this is the potencies of the Lord, how they are working wonderfully for the pastimes of the Lord. So Mother Yashoda, she rejected the universal form. So that's how the devotees are. Now, in the purport, it comes to the point that anything which has a beginning, interim, and end is called material. Very important point. Because in the Vedic conception is so wonderful that it gives a different idea, different outlook of the whole world. Completely different outlook of the whole world. As Bhagavad Gita says, Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sadaha, ubhyorabhi drishtondas to anyo tattva darshibhi. Those who are the seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent there is no endurance, and of the eternal there is no change. So this is the basis of Krishna consciousness life. The Vedic perception and the Vedic reality is based on this principle. Na asato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha. This is the principle in which everything is functioning. If you see Varnashram Dharma, what is the principle in which it's working? It is based on regulating the senses and directing the activities towards the Supreme Lord, slowly, steadily and progressively. Understanding that the gratification of the senses in itself will not give anything lasting. So, there is regulation. We had wild senses and we were engaging our wild senses and mind in those activities for such a long time. And while coming to Krishna consciousness, now we are trying to regulate our senses. What is the principle? Understanding that just gratifying the senses without limits is not going to give any satisfaction or happiness. It can give some fleeting sensation, not more than that. So we understand this principle, and based on this principle, we work in our day-to-day life. Otherwise, Krishna consciousness is going to be a miserable affair. If we don't try to control the senses, and if we try to practice, we will be failure for sure. In fact, in the Madhyalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's a beautiful verse regarding this. How we were serving different masters for such a long time. Life after life. And did we achieve anything? No, we didn't achieve anything. This verse is quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as well. Kamadinam kadina kadita palita durnidesha tesham jata na karuna natrapa no pashantihi usrijeta natha yadupade sampradam labdha buddhi tvamayata sharanam abhemam ninkshvatmadasye. Said, Kamadinam kadina kadita palita durnidesha. We had so many masters for so many lifetimes and we engaged our senses lustfully satisfying those masters. Kati means I don't know how many numbers. Kati na katita. I can't even describe how many times I have satisfied my senses lustfully. In that way, I was satisfying so many masters. I don't know. I can't even count. This is our situation. It's a reality for any jiva in the material existence, conditioned by the material nature. Tesham jata na karuna na trapa na uposhantihi. So what we got? Na karuna. These masters never showed us any mercy at all. How much ever we satisfy our senses, the senses are demanding more and more. As Bhagavad Gita says, Dushparena analena cha. Just like pouring oil into the fire. We try to satisfy the senses. It looks like it is satisfied, but it comes back. Give me more. So, na karuna and na trapa is a very important point. It has so much of emotion in it. Na trapa meaning no shame, no shame at all. We satisfy these masters without any shame. And as devotees, as conditioned devotees, at least we, you know, still try to satisfy these senses. Still try to satisfy the lusty affairs of the mind. So this is na trapa, no shame. Na upashantihi. And it is not giving any shanti, it is not giving any peace of mind at all. So the more we realize that we have to control our mind and the senses, and they are not going to give us any happiness, they are not going to give any mercy, they are not going to give us any peace, when we understand, then we can come to the real devotional service. So that's why the next line is, Utsrijaitan, that is, now I am ready to give up. If we realize that we are not getting anything, then we are ready to give up. Utsrijyetan atha yadupate. O Krishna, you are the master of the yadus. Sampradam labdha buddhi. I have now I have achieved some buddhi. Now I have received some intelligence. So I am ready to give up all these demands. Tvam ayata sharanam abhayam mam ninkshu atma dasye. Now I am ready to come at your fearless lotus feet in surrender and kindly engage me in your service and save me. So this is the whole idea of service. Service is not a burden. Service is not a time pass. Service is the savior. Niyunkshu atma dasye. Kindly engage me in your personal service and thus save me. So service is our only savior. The same principle applies to our chanting also. That Niyunkshu atma dasye. This is the mood in which we can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is, kindly engage me in your personal service and thus save me. Without that, we don't have any hope at all. So we cannot see service as a, you know, if you are in the ashram, you know, that is the way. We have to do some service, otherwise we can't live. Or if you are a devotee in the community, if there is no service, you know, if you don't show any service, then okay, we are not part of the community. We have to, you know, has to have some record. I can say, okay, I'm doing such and such service. Or for initiation, okay, we have my list, okay, I'm doing, okay, two or three services, okay, I can show that I'm doing some service, which is good. But one has to realize that service is the savior. Then we can actually take it seriously. Because we engaged and we sincerely served so many masters for so many lifetimes. Still we got nothing. Really, we didn't get anything. Still, we are unsatisfied. And still we try to satisfy our senses and the mind. Beyond regulation sometimes. Beyond regulations. So we have to take our time. Think what we are doing and how are we approaching our devotion service. And what we have got at this point of time. It's like I remember a story of Radhanand Maharaj writing in his book about Ghanashyam Baba. When he got old, he couldn't carry the water pots. Pot full of water to bathe the lordships. So he had his dear deities and he was carrying water from Yamuna and bringing the whole water and he was bathing the deities. And as he got older, it was difficult for him to carry this, you know, the pots because it was getting heavier. So Maharaj said he tried to help him. So when he was going to try to help him, he would say, no, no, no. Don't take away my service from me. So this was his attachment for the service. So he saw actually the service as the real savior. He saw it with love and affection. So this is a very wonderful example. How advanced devotees, they are attached to serving the Supreme Lord. And they have that possessive feeling that I have to serve the Lord. And they don't want it to be taken away. So it is wonderful. So we have to come to that platform where we have appreciation for the service. And we don't see it as something, you know, something inferior or, you know, something which is just doing as a time pass. But seeing it the importance, then we can become very serious in our service. Now, in the purport further continues explaining nirvisheshanam. Nirvisheshanam means without any material qualities. So here we have to understand very important point. As Srila Prabhupada very clearly mentions in many purports as well as in Sri Isha Upanishad that if one negates material qualities, it doesn't give any positive affirmation or it doesn't describe anything which is positive. It just negates the material qualities, that's all. And the very proof of that is in this verse because here the material qualities are negated as the Visheshanam. And after that, Srila Prabhupada writes, but four transcendental qualities are mentioned, which are unmanifested, transcendental, eternal, and beyond the conception of mind or word. So these are qualities. These are Visheshanam. So on one level, it is Nirvisheshanam. The material qualifications are rejected. But on the other side, the spiritual qualifications are presented. So this is very important for us to understand because this is the essence of Vaishnava philosophy. Because the Vaishnava philosophy is full of spiritual variegatedness. So there is name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord which are full of varieties in the spiritual realm, not on the material platform. And today is an auspicious day, because I was looking into the calendar. So today I saw it was Hera Panchami. So I thought I'll speak a few words about Hera Panchami. The word Hera Panchami means, Hera means to see, and Panchami means the fifth day. So this is very interesting because it has a very strong connection to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Jagannath Puri. The Lord in Jagannath Puri, in Neelachal, is worshipped in the mood of Aishwarya. So Jagannath Puri is considered as Dwaraka Dham. It is Aishwarya Dham. It is Dwaraka Dham. So the meaning of Rathayatra is that the Lord wants to go to Vrindavan. So yearly he wants to visit his dear devotees and he wants to stay in Vrindavan for some time. So the Lord, in the plea of Rathayatra, goes from Neelachal to Sundarachal, where the Gundicha temple is there. So it is mentioned in the description of Rathayatra, wherein Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dances along with his devotees ecstatically in front of Lord Jagannath. When the Lord reached near Gundicha Mandir, he saw beautiful gardens, and at the corner he saw Viprashasan, where the Brahmanas are staying. So the Lord understood that this is Vrindavan. So he saw that area to be Vrindavan, and the Lord stopped, and then he didn't allow the cart to be pulled further. And then the devotees, they carried the Lord to Gundicha temple. Now, the Hera Panchami, as I mentioned, Hera means to see. So for the Lord to see. The Lord, Jagannath, he wants to see the residence of Vrindavan. And after the fifth day, after Rathayatra, the Lord wants to see. And that's why this celebration is performed in Jagannath Puri. So, actually, I missed the point. Not the Lord wants to see, Lakshmi Devi, the Lord's wife, she wants to see the Lord. So, this is centered around Lakshmi Devi. So, fifth day, she comes out, and it is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in respect to Prataparudra and Lord Chaitanya, that year, Prataparudra made arrangement that the Lakshmi Devi is dressed so opulently, and there were so many chamaras, there were so many the malas, there were so many flowers, so many scented oils, so many items of worship. And when Lakshmi Devi came out from the Jagannath temple, it was like a big festival with lot of her maidservants along with her. So it was a huge, huge crowd. They were observing this Hera Panchami festival. And Lakshmi Devi, she was very angry. And she wanted to see her husband. And she ordered her maidservants to arrest all the immediate servants of Lord Jagannath. So according to her order, all these maidservants of Lakshmi Devi started arresting and harassing the servants of Jagannath. And it was mentioned, they were actually arrested and they were thrown in front of Lakshmi Devi. And she ordered that, now you bring my husband. And she spoke so impudently along with her maid servants. And it is mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, they saw all these things and they became, started laughing, seeing the impudent language of these maidservants. And then, okay, after that, the Lord returns from Gundicha Mandir back to Jagannath Puri, back to Neelachal. So this is the pastime. So in this regard, there is a difference in rasa, there is a difference in mellow of devotional service. And so to elaborate that, and to explain and to illuminate that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Swarup Damodar Goswami, what is the whole meaning of this? Lakshmi Devi, she can just go to Gundicha and she can see Lord Jagannath. What's the big deal? Or in other words, Lord can take his beloved wife along with him when he goes to Gundicha Mandir, to Vrindavan. So why she is deprived from that association? So Surup Damodar Goswami, he explains. He says, look, she is in the mood of Dwaraka, she is in the mood of Aishwarya, and she cannot enter Vrindavan. She cannot enter Braja Bhakti. So there is a difference. And she and Surup Damodar Goswami, he explained that similar nature, even you can see in gopis, they also become angry when they get neglected by Krishna. So here you can see that Lakshmi Devi is being showing angry mood because being neglected by her beloved husband. So he explained different kinds of mood in devotional service. Then later, Mahaprabhu asked, or he was in the assembly of all his intimate devotees. And at that point, Srivastakur is Narada Muni, right? So Srivastakur, as a resident of Vaikuntha, in the mood of a resident of Vaikuntha, started glorifying Lakshmi Devi. So again, for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srivastakur said, look at the Aishwarya, look at the opulence of our Lakshmi Devi. She has so many garlands, she has so many different kinds of dresses. She has so many beautiful golden and ornaments. So she has so many things. So he started glorifying Lakshmi Devi like anything. And that is our Lakshmi Devi. So he started speaking in a very possessive mood. And he asked Gadadhar Pandit that, look at your Krishna and look at the residents of Vrindavan. What have they got? They are just cowherd men and cowherd women. They don't have such opulence. They don't have such beautiful dresses. They don't have such beautiful ornaments. We have such valuable jewels, valuable ornaments. So in the residents of Vrindavan, they don't have anything. So in a joking way, Srivastakur was telling this to Gadadhar Pandit in the presence of Mahaprabhu. So the whole pastime was unmanifesting. Unfolding, for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So immediately, Gadadhar Pandit replied. He quoted a beautiful verse given by Bilamangal Thakur. He said, Chintamani Charana Bhushana Manganana. He said, okay, you are talking about the ornaments? You know the actual ornaments of the residents of Vrindavan. He said, it is Chintamani Charana Bhushanam. The ornaments of even the ankle bells of residents of Vrindavan are made of chintamani, desire-fulfilling stones. And chintamani charana bhushana manganana shringara pushpa tarava tarava suranam. And if you are talking about the flowers, this is even better than the parijada flower in the heavenly planets. Shringara pushpa tarava. And this is used for shringara, this is used for decoration. And then he said, Vrindavane Vraja Dhanam Nanu Kamadhenu. And the real wealth of Vrindavan is Kamadhenu. That is the cows, the Kamadhenus, which can fulfill anything. Kamadhenu, they can fulfill any desires. What to speak about some gold or what to speak about some jewels? Nothing. It can fulfill anything. Vrindani Cheti Sukha Sindhur Aho Vibhuti. And he said, see the Vibhuti, the opulence of the most opulent Krishna, who is Sukha Sindhu, who is an ocean of bliss. So in that way, Gadadhar Pandit established the supremacy of Krishna in comparison to Narayan and Vaikuntha. So Mahaprabhu became very happy. Mahaprabhu said, you are a Shuddha Brajabasi. Gadadhar Pandit, he is Shuddha Brajabasi. He is a pure Brajabasi. He doesn't know anything about the opulence of Vaikuntha. And he doesn't even care about the opulence of Vaikuntha. So he is completely engrossed in Braja Bhakti. So, so that is the beauty of Hera Panchami. So there is a contrast between the Aishwarya and the Prema of Vrindavan. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Brother. It's the deity form, that's what I understand. The deity form was carried by the servants outside, and all the servants, all the maid servants, they started acting on behalf of Mother Lakshmi Devi. So this pastime take place. So every year the same pastime take place. So this is the way Lakshmi Devi is pulling her husband from Vrindavan back to Dwaraka. So that's what I understand. Yeah, this precedes the return, yeah.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
Lakshmi Devi is worshipped at Janmapuri. Hmm. And for those who have been into the temple of Janmapuri, can get Lakshmi's darshan.
I think so. There's the eternal consort of Lord Jagannath is residing in Jagannathpuri. We can see. Bimala Devi, we can see. So she is eternal consort of the Lord.
So this is who Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada is making?
Yeah, Bimala Devi. Any final question? Yeah.
Prabhupada, you mentioned earlier that the gross senses are not the real senses. I didn't understand that.
The gross senses?
They're not the real senses.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. What I meant is the universe, the purpose of the universal form is to create the gross senses. And these gross senses are just to cover the real senses of the living entity. So when we say we are seeing, actually our eyes, we may be proud of our eyes, but our eyes are actually covering our real eyes in that sense. So the soul, the spirit soul, jiva, we have our own spiritual senses. And we have our spiritual body, we have our spiritual senses, that is our real identity, which is covered at this point. So the material covering, the senses, just external manifestation, that's all. You know, so it's a device used by the jiva to perceive the world, but it's not part of jiva. In that sense, it is separate. Because that's why when we leave the body, the senses are gone. And higher than the senses, the sense organs that we can perceive is the subtle senses, which are around the mind, which are subtle in nature. So those senses actually go from one body to the next body. So in this section, it is mentioned actually the importance of the subtle aspect. Because without a subtle body, it is impossible for the living entity to transmigrate from one body to the next. So the subtle senses are even more important than the gross senses, because it goes from one body to the next. But that is also not us. So our real self is spiritual senses. So in that sense, I was explaining that the gross senses are not the real senses. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.